You can take your Bibles and you can go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We'll be starting a small series, a mini series, if you will, as we lead up to the Christmas holiday. Some teachings on our promised seed, Jesus Christ. So tonight we're going to be looking at prophecies of the promised seed. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And I, God, will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is the first reference in the Word of God to a coming Messiah that was recorded in God's Word. This presents the core theme of the entire Bible, the red thread of a Redeemer who would be the offspring of a woman and ultimately destroy the adversary and his works. So we're going to look at some things tonight about who was prophesied to be the Messiah, what would the Messiah's purpose be, and we're going to look at some of the prophecies recorded in the Old Testament to help answer these questions. Genesis 21, verse 12. So God promised in Genesis 3:15 a Messiah. The offspring of a woman who would ultimately destroy the adversary and his works. In Genesis 21, verse 12, it says, "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And the words, "thy seed be called," refers to a coming Messiah. So God lays it out here that Abraham, and then via Isaac, the coming Messiah would ultimately come through. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians 3:16. It says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is" who?
Christ.
So God's making sure we know that that's what he was talking about. Thy seed, he was referring to Christ. It was to be Abraham and his seed, singular, which is Christ. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. So God has sprinkled these little prophecies in throughout the Old Testament to Old Testament believers. And they didn't fully understand the gravity of what was promised to them at the time, but it became clear as God's word was revealed. In Deuteronomy 18:18, it says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall" what?
Command him.
So Moses prophesied of a coming prophet. And we learn in the context of Acts 3 that this is Jesus Christ. So go to Acts 3, verse 20. Acts 3, verse 20. Now again, a lot of these prophecies have immediate, they come to immediate fruition in other ways. But God reveals later in his word that it's also referring to the eventual coming of the Messiah, the promised seed. Acts 3:20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So we learn here that indeed it was Jesus Christ that was being prophesied way back in Deuteronomy 18:18. So we learn that the Messiah is going to be a prophet of the stature of Moses. Go to Psalm 110. And to Israel, Moses was one of the greatest prophets. And the Messiah was to be a prophet like unto him. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Okay. So the prophecy was given and then clarified in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Hebrews 5, 5. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so we learn that this prophecy was about Jesus Christ. He would be both a prophet and a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Messiah was also to be a king. Abraham begat Isaac, who begat Jacob, who begat Judah. And if you go to Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, it talks about this. So Jesus Christ would come ultimately from Abraham's seed. He would be a prophet like unto Moses. He would be a priest. In Genesis 49, verse 10, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter, in the first part of that verse, refers to royalty, to being a king, a symbol of rulership. And Shiloh is the one to whom the scepter belongs. Okay, that's what Shiloh is, the one to whom the scepter belongs. And that is the Messiah. So Abraham begets Isaac, Isaac begets Jacob, Jacob begets Judah, and the scepter would not depart from that line. So out of the line of Judah would the Messiah come as a king. The children of Israel had the hope of a coming ruler, a Messiah descended from Judah, sent by God to deliver them. That was the promise that was made to the children of Israel. Go to Numbers 23, verse 21. So way back, God made a promise to his children that a great king would come out of the line of Judah and would be a deliverer. Numbers 23, 21. This is a prophecy of a man named Balaam. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. So this is Balaam's prophecy to the ruler of Moab, and it illustrates Israel's joyous expectation of their prophesied Messiah king. Their prophesied Messiah king. They looked forward to it. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. They were excited about it. They were looking forward with joyous expectation to the coming of a Messiah. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Second Samuel 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto who?
David.
And so this prophecy was given to King David, that out of his seed, I will set up thy seed after thee, it says in verse 12, and that his kingdom and his throne would be established forever. So this was the promise given to King David, that from his seed would a king come, and that king would be the Messiah, whose kingdom would be established forever. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. So we learn that it is out of the line of David that this would follow. This king would follow after King David. And it would be a royal line. 1 Kings 8, verse 25. This is now Solomon speaking as well, David's son, King Solomon. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, and they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. And so Solomon was aware of this, was aware of what was promised to King David. And he's speaking of a line of descendants that would follow from him as well. Go to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 17. So this coming King Messiah would be from the line of David, from Solomon, and his throne would last and his kingdom would endure forever. That was the promise. Jeremiah 33, verse 17. Now the only way that a kingdom can last forever is if the king lasts forever. Verse 17. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. And never want there means shall not be cut off from. So the promise was made to David that from his line that the kings of Israel would follow, including the Messiah. So from David's house, the kings of Israel would follow, and they would never be cut off, because ultimately that line would end in Jesus Christ, in the Messiah. That was God's promise. Go to Psalm 89. So you can understand where Israel's hope was. Even when you look at the records in the New Testament, when you look at the Gospels, when Jesus Christ came and a lot of his disciples were, including some of the apostles, were following him, expecting him to restore the kingdom to Israel, expecting him to be a literal king to sit on a throne, because those were the things that were prophesied to them for ages. Psalm 89, verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah, or consider this. God promised to establish David's throne forever. With Christ as the promised king and his resurrected form, that prophecy was fulfilled. That prophecy was fulfilled, that his kingdom would last forever to all generations. The Messiah's birthplace is also prophesied. Go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah. Few books back from the New Testament, between Jonah and Zephaniah, good old Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, this little village among the thousands of people that make up Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth, which should read forthcoming, better translation is forthcoming, whose forthcoming has been told from of old, from everlasting. So, again, speaking of the Messiah, who's been prophesied from old, would come from Bethlehem, little old Bethlehem. So when we understand that Jesus Christ is the main subject of the Bible from Genesis 3:15 on, we can see other prophecies take on a more dynamic meaning. And often the prophecies would have an immediate meaning as well as a future meaning regarding Christ. So you can go to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. A few books back from good old Micah is Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Baalim and burned incense to graven images. So this is referring directly to Israel, which is referring to Israel as a child, calling my son out of Egypt, when God had led his adopted son, the children of Israel, out of Egypt in Exodus. But it's also a prophecy of the forthcoming Messiah. Go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. It says that he calls his son out of Egypt. In Matthew 2, verse 13, it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called what?
My son.
And so that was the verse we read back in Hosea, that this also pertained to the coming Messiah, that Jesus Christ would be called out of Egypt, because they had to flee there in order to get away from Herod, who sought to kill him as a child. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11. So there's lots of little stuff like this throughout the Old Testament that takes on a bigger meaning when it is looked at in the context of Jesus Christ and of the Messiah. So God was sprinkling these things throughout his word to the children of Israel so that they would have this hope. And we'll see later on in future records that all of these prophecies were fulfilled, because God's word is true. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11. It says, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. So this is, I should read verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in depth or in the height above. So this is a prophecy toward Ahaz. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So this prophecy has a very immediate fulfillment in Isaiah 8:8, and it says that he shall pass through Judah, and he shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. So he's promised this son, and Syria and Israel are subdued by Assyria. That was sort of the promise in verse 16, that before the child shall know to refuse the evil, that Syria and Israel are both subdued. The land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken by both her kings. So it has a very immediate fulfillment. But if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, you probably already know where this is headed, but this is a very well-known verse of Scripture. verse 22. Sorry, Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And so that's the ultimate fulfillment in the birth of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ. God also refers in several places to the Messiah as a branch. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." And this promise refers, this branch refers to the coming Messiah. It refers to the coming Messiah. The branch was to be a righteous king. It was to be a righteous king. Again, from the line of David. Go to chapter 33, verse 14. 33, verse 14. Again, in Jeremiah, the branch is referred to as a king. Behold, 33, verse 14. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel, unto the house of Judah." Now remember that from Judah that the scepter would not pass. "In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto or from David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Okay, so he was to be of the kingly line, and he was to be a righteous king executing judgment and justice. Go to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Books back from the New Testament again, Zechariah 3, verse 8. "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the what?
Branch.
The branch. So the branch here in Zechariah was prophesied to be a servant. So not only would he be a king, he would be a servant. Chapter 6, verse 12. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." So it says, behold the man whose name is the branch. So in Zechariah 6, the branch is referred to as a man. And go to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. So the branch is to be a king, was to be a servant, is referred to simply as a man. In Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "In that day shall the branch of what? The Lord. The branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And here the branch was to be a branch or offshoot of the Lord, or otherwise the Son of God. He was to be of God, of the Lord. So with these four prophecies, or these four aspects, we can see what the branch or the Messiah was to be. He was to be a king, he was to be a servant, he was to be a man, and he was to be the Son of God. And if you look at the four Gospels, in regards to those four aspects, Matthew talks about Jesus Christ from the point of view as a king, Mark as a servant, Luke as a man, and John as the Son of God. And there are two mentions of the branch as a king. And Revelation foretells of Jesus Christ's glorious return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So if you factor in Revelation, that would be the second entry for the Messiah as a king when he returns. Go to Luke chapter 24, verse 44, where we'll close. So God peppered throughout his word these prophecies. From Genesis 3:15 on, the Bible is about Jesus Christ in one way or another. Because man needed a redeemer, man needed a savior. And God wanted his people to know that that was coming, that it would be available. Luke 24, verse 44. This is Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So Jesus Christ knew who he was, and he knew what the word of God said about him, and he understood the prophecies that were written about him throughout the books of Moses, throughout the prophets, the Psalms, all concerning Jesus Christ. So God prepared men's hearts for the coming of a Messiah, for ages and ages and ages before that Messiah would ever come, that he would be a king, that he would be a servant, that he would come from David and from Solomon, that he would be born in Bethlehem. He peppered all those little clues out there for them. And then when Jesus Christ was born and read the word, he began to understand who he was, because God had put all that in there for him. Pretty cool.